Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the songs that we have sung. Thank you for the 412 choir and the extra special blessing that that brings to our singing. And today is a full day for all of us, and yet we've taken time to break away, spend this time together. Minister to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Merry Christmas again. But maybe we should say, why Christmas? What is it about Christmas that makes it so much different than any other holiday? Well, if you've been with us this past month, we've been looking at themes of Advent. And each theme is, in particular, a reason for us to find the hope, the peace, the joy through the love of Christ. So if you remember, the first Sunday that we celebrated Advent, we looked at hope. And hope is that thing that is in us, and yet it's not derived from anything that I see. That hope is not something that is generated by a bank account, by family members next to me. It's a hope that's not developed from a great job or a great marriage. It's a hope that is the product of the Holy Spirit living within us, that regardless of the circumstances of life, there's a smile on our face. And those that know us and know us well and recognize what it is that we're dealing with and going through, it is that hope that speaks to them, that causes them to say, something different about you. There's something different about you. The second week was about a song that we've just sung, and it talks about a peace. And we say peace on earth and goodwill to men, but it wasn't peace brought to mankind on earth. It is a peace that God is making with man, that we might have peace with him, that our sins might be forgiven. And even though we were separated from him, and rightly deserving to be separated from him for all eternity, Christmas is a way in which peace is made between God and man. A peace that brings comfort, even though we recognize that we have failed and continually fail and fall short. Yet, because of Christmas, peace was made. The third week, if you remember, was about joy. See, other than just a hope that people see, which brings strength, this element shows that it's more than just a grit your teeth and make it through. It's an element in our lives that regardless of the trials and the difficulties and the hardships, there's a joy. There is just something bubbly about us that can't be taken away. The disciples, the apostles, illustrated this as they were thrown into prison. And they were beaten. And their lives were threatened. And that they considered it such a great thing that God trusted in them and believed that they would be able to endure these hardships in such a way that he still receives the glory. And it was the joy that they had in the midst of it. Then last week, we wrapped up the themes, and that last theme was love. The only way that God would become man, the only reason that God would leave sinless, perfect, holy heaven and lower himself to a human body, to be born into the human race, and his first bed would be a manger. The only way that could happen is great love. It wasn't because you were worth it. You weren't. It wasn't because you deserved it. You didn't. It happened just because God is love. But all of these are possible because of this center candle. And the center candle resembles Christ. He is the one that gives the hope. He is the one that gives the peace. He is the one that makes it possible for us to have joy in the midst of all the suffering. It is He and His love that has impacted us in such a way that now we have an opportunity to love Him in response. Would you travel back with me all the way back to 5 BC? It's dark. It's really dark. 5 BC is the time we figure he was born. When they put the calendar together, they got it wrong just a little bit, but not far off. But when that first Christmas morning took place, when Mary, the Virgin Mary, gave birth to her son, which was Emmanuel, it was God who lived in the holiness of heaven, now has brought himself, lowered himself, and now lying in a manger. In the Old Testament, you could not see the face of God and live, and now Mary is looking at the very face of God in the manger. That's love. But it was dark. It was so dark that people were asking. They were asking, where is hope? Where is peace? How can we have joy in the midst of the life that we are living? It was dark, much darker than you can imagine, and much darker than what you are experiencing in this generation. Jerusalem had been invaded and conquered. This once people who enjoyed God ruling and reigning over them were now experiencing the tyranny of Rome. Rome imposed heavy taxation. Taxation was the means in which the Roman elite were able to provide gifts for their citizens and build the mother city. But the average citizen in Rome did not enjoy that. It resulted in great prejudice, hatred, anxiety one towards another. 97% of those who lived in the empire lived in some degree of poverty. You realize that the poverty, those in the United States today, the percentage of people that live in poverty is 11.6. 11.6, according to 2021. That is less than half than in 1959. Oh, but we think it's so much worse today. We're a soft culture. This was 5 BC. 97% of the people lived in some sort of poverty, and 30% of the population were slaves. 1 in 3. Can you imagine living in a culture where you're dealing with poverty? A third of your population are slaves, and the Roman Empire establishes a status of his own where he says he is deity and he deserves your worship. That makes it pretty difficult for a Jew living in a culture that demands that you worship the emperor rather than God. The Jews found themselves in a very difficult place. I mean, they were heavily taxed. But on top of that, they were required to bring their tithes to the temple, which left very little to live on. They were experiencing pressure way beyond anything you or I can imagine. Many fell into deep debt and were faced with the reality of losing their inheritance, the family farm. And some of them actually would commit themselves into slavery in order to pay off their debts. It was dark in 5 BC. It was very dark. Much more difficult than anything you and I have ever experienced. The Jews longed for a Messiah to come. They had hoped that when the Messiah would come, he would dash the Romans, put an end to this tyranny, bring joy and excitement to life, set them free that they might enjoy themselves here on this earth rather than the poverty and the slavery that they were enduring. But he didn't do that, did he? The birth of the promised Messiah did not bring the blessing that the people were expecting. Instead, imagine yourself being alive in 5 BC, experiencing these hardships and difficulties, struggling to make ends meet, living in poverty, about to lose your family inheritance. And now this one who is born amongst men is claiming to be the Messiah, and he tells you, you keep paying your taxes. Wouldn't that light up your day? You keep paying your taxes to these ungodly people. They'd hoped for a new Exodus. They were hoping for another Moses, someone that would grab them, lead them, and rush them out of here and take them to the promised land. And he didn't offer one. He didn't tell them it was going to get better. In fact, he told them it was going to get worse. He didn't crush the ungodliness of the day. In fact, he allowed the ungodliness to continue, to get worse. Things didn't get better even after the death, burial, and resurrection. Rome destroyed the temple, leveled Jerusalem. Christians were fleeing for their lives. They were being scattered across the planet. They were taking the gospel with them. Life on planet Earth was not going to get better. It got worse. And here we are gathered in 2022 at Christmas, and somehow we're saying, God, please make life better. And we're hoping and praying that 2023 turns out to be better than 2022. But what happens if it doesn't? Then what? In spite of the darkness of 5 BC, in spite of the darkness of AD 30, after the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, in spite of the great persecution that came upon the church, where leaders of this new sect, this new religion, this new way, as it was called, Christianity, they were being killed. They were being persecuted for their faith. They were being separated from their families. They were losing everything that they had. And they were packing their bags with what few things they had, and they were scattering. And yet now those Christians turn the world upside down. And we ask the question, how? How could they be enduring such darkness and hardship, turn the world upside down? Because they had hope. They found peace. And in spite of all the darkness and the hardships, they had joy. And they loved God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. It's your turn now. It's my turn now. And it's dark out there. But it's not that dark. But we are allowing the trials and the difficulties and the hardship and the pain of life to curl up like a centipede. We've lost hope. We have no peace. We are the most anxious, anxiety-filled, overwhelmed people because the joy has been taken away from us. We have allowed the enemy, who seeks to destroy us and destroy our faith, we've allowed him to conquer us in a sense. And our love for God sometimes to be only with our lips rather than with our lives. Take your Bibles and go with me if you will. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter is writing to the Christians living in these dark days. He is writing to them in the midst of their suffering. He's writing to them in the midst of their fleeing, trying to find a place to relocate, trying to find some place they can raise their families, trying to find a place in which they can go and live some sort of a normal life. And Peter writes, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. They're being scattered. They're being persecuted. They're fleeing. They're looking for somewhere to go. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. It's widespread. And he says to them, pilgrims, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a blessed people. In the midst of all of this, the hardship and the fleeing and the difficulties, in the midst of this, just think about this. It was God who chose to save you and to give you an eternal hope, something that is far beyond this temporary, momentary darkness of the world today. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas. Who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, but is reserved for us in heaven. For you, verse 5, for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in this last time. It is God who grabs a hold of you and wraps his arms around you, who saves you and upholds you in the midst of the darkness as you're fleeing for your lives. Rest in him. Rest in him. Verse 6. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is not looking for something to tickle our ears and to make us feel great at the moment. He wants us to stay focused on eternity. This is not our home. We are pilgrims. Our citizenship is in heaven. Never take your eyes off of it. And until you get home, it's going to be difficult. Why was God allowing the trials and the hardship? He wanted these folks to know that their salvation was genuine. The Jews were convinced they were children of God, and they weren't. It's trials and difficulties that show our hope, our peace, our joy, our love for God. And if we have none of those elements, then we have to ask the question, where is the Holy Spirit? Because he is supposed to dwell in me. And if the Holy Spirit dwells within me, there should be fruit. And what does that fruit look like? It looks like all of these. Peter goes on, talking about the glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the future. There in verse 7, verse 8, he says, whom having not seen, you love. You've not seen him. He's writing to a generation that hasn't laid their eyes on him. He's certainly writing to us. This is the inspiration of God, and God is reminding us, you have not seen him. But you love him. Though now you don't see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied on the grace that would come to you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. Through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look upon. Verse 13, therefore, grab hold of your bootstraps. Strengthen those weak knees. Put strength back in those arms, he's saying. Gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Think straight. Don't allow the things of this earth to destroy you. They are temporary. Remember what God has for you for all eternity. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not here. It's not now. It's future. That's what keeps us going. He goes on. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Whatever short time God has for you on planet Earth, regardless of the hardships and the difficulties, you keep focused, because you recognize that one day you're going to give an account for all of this. And so you walk through this life with the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, because you want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Verse 18, knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. This was all planned out. No surprises. Before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Through him, believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that you set your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And remember, verse 24, all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And the grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. What's your hope based on? It better not be based on the things of this life. And if it's the trials and the difficulties of this life that cause you to fall apart, come back to the word. God's word is sufficient, and it will help you in any trial you face. Father, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for Christmas. This is why we celebrate. Help us today to have opportunity to reflect the hope, the peace, the joy, and love that we find in Christ. May that be exhibited to our family members and friends and neighbors and whoever we may rub shoulders with today. And then every day that you allow us on this earth, may nothing, may the gates of hell not strip us from our hope, our peace, our joy, and our love for you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.